This is Thoughts Become Things. With each episode, we'll help you reach the highest creative potential that God has for you. With your host, a teacher, life coach, a dream coach, and motivational speaker, Jeremy Lopez.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to another exciting podcast of Thoughts Become Things. I'm Jeremy Lopez, and once again, I'm so honored that you guys decided to join with me today, no matter if you're drinking coffee, if you're laying in bed, getting ready to get up, or getting ready to go to sleep. It doesn't matter. God is faithful, and I want to be able to sort of bring you this podcast at this precious moment of your life to just sort of share something with you, you know, some thoughts, because one of the things God put in my heart the other day when I was actually sort of, I prophesy to people all the time, and even though, you know, people know me from a law of attraction point of view, I do a lot of prophetic readings, you know, because I hear from the Holy Spirit on things that God wants to say to people, so people write into me on my website, and I'm able to get data, revelation downloaded from the heavens to me about what God wants to say to certain people. And I had someone write in the other day, and they said, you know, hey, you know, I'm used to getting like generic prophecies from people, and I want something deep. And when I was getting ready to prophesy this person, give him a prophetic reading, God really stopped me for a moment. And he says, this is what God told me. God said, that is so disrespectful. And I'm like, what is disrespectful, God? And God said, it's disrespectful when my people like slap me in the face by saying generic, shallow, or deep. And I'm like, you know, God, you're right. I never thought about that. God said, it has nothing to do with anything. And God said, because what might be deep to one could be shallow to another. What's shallow to one could be deep to another. And so I knew at that moment, it's just nothing but perception. It's perception of what a person sees, how they see it, how they hear things, how they examine things, how they look at things. And so with that being said, I wanted to sort of bring a little bit of, we could say, adjustment. I don't want to use the word correction. We'll say adjustment today to this podcast, because, you know, we don't realize how disrespectful it is. You know, when people ask me a lot, like, you know, hey, I got a question from God, and this prophetic reading, you know, didn't address that. You know, and trust me when I say this to you guys, I get like 99.9% people all over the world every day saying, oh my gosh, like, I mean, that prophetic reading was scary. It was so accurate. Like, it read my mail, you know, all these phrases we use. But one of the things that I really felt like today I wanted to address is, what does God really want to say? You know, when we look and we say, I had an important question. I have a question that God has got to be answered today. And we sort of act like that God is our sugar daddy, do we not? And we don't think that, but we do. Some people look at that and say, you're my sugar daddy. You know, I twist your arm. I tell you what I want to do. I tell you, you tell me, you know, I tell you how to answer me, God. And we don't think we do, but we really do that. And it's very, not just dishonoring, but it's very disrespectful, because God said in His Word, He said, His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And what that means is, get in the right vibration. Get in the vibration of knowing God's heart, knowing God's mind. And that means God is not your sugar daddy. God does not owe you an explanation. God is not, what is the word I'm looking for? He's not required to give you an answer from your questions. You know, when the Bible says, ask and it shall be given, seek and you shall find, knock and the door shall be open. Notice what that says. It's giving you three different areas of asking, seeking, and knocking. It never says, you ask, and the first time you ask, bingo, hit the slot machine, I give you the download, the answer of exactly what it is you want to hear. That's not how the kingdom of God works, folks. We've got to begin to reconstruct and look at our lives to realize, what does God want? What is God saying? Because when He says, ask, seek, and knock, that means you're going to have to do a lot more than just asking one time. God is not a one-hit wonder record. He's not going to, you know, here today, gone tomorrow. He's not one of these God, you know, He's not a God that sort of looks at this and says, I work for you, you know, your wish is my command. We have to begin to start respecting and honoring God to realize, you know what, this amazing person we call God, you know, doesn't owe us anything except the fact that we are commanded to ask, to seek, and knock. And when we begin to look and say, hey, that was shallow, hey, that was deep, here's what I would say to many of you. And please understand, I love every one of you. I'm talking to myself. Hello. And that is this. Don't be a spoiled, rotten brat. How many of you have heard that? Don't be a spoiled, rotten brat. You know, and I say that to myself. I'm pointing the finger at myself because we don't demand God to tell us what we want, nor do we need to demand God to give us an answer, no matter if we like the answer or not. God doesn't work for you. God doesn't work for me. You know, we have to begin to understand that there's many people in the Bible. I mean, look at Hannah. Hannah in the Bible, she like cried. And the Bible doesn't even say how long, but she cried for a long period of time. And many people mistaken her for being just drunk. And, you know, because she wanted a child so bad, she begged God to the point of acting like a crazy woman, you know. I would never call anybody a fool, but the world would be like, she's a crazy fool, you know. But she acted that way, and yet we don't know how long she acted that way in order for God to answer her. And I'm sure many of you in your life have talked to God personally, and you're like, oh, God. Universe, something, Holy Spirit, somebody, you know, like, tell me an answer for the situation. And the truth is, let's just face it, many times you didn't get it. But yet when we go to prophetic people, we expect they're going to, you know, we give them a coin and they're going to get the answer right. And they're going to get it when we say so. You have to understand, folks, shallow and deep does not work in the kingdom of God. Let me explain this to you. When Jesus was walking the earth, and we hear where he says, cast your nets out into the deep. God, through Christ, used examples on earth that were measurements, deep, shallow, even understanding salvation. You know, he's sitting there going, one guy asked him, and he's like, got to be born again. Well, does that mean I got to go back into my mother's womb? You know, so there was like an inward thing, right? Going back in. And like, you know, you could probably imagine Jesus rolling his eyes thinking, oh, Lord, help me. You know, you could see another time where Jesus is speaking to, you know, a couple of guys that had a lot of money. And they're like, what must we do? You know, and he's like, go and sell all that you have. And you can probably hear those guys because they're, and the Bible says they walked away disappointed. And you can probably imagine Jesus rolling his eyes thinking, oh my goodness, you know, some people, you know. But the truth is, he addressed different things, different people, only because of the fact that he's letting you know that there are different answers for different people. And not everybody deserves a slot machine answer. The Baptist called a Romans road to salvation. Sorry, Baptist. Love you dearly. That's not the way for everybody. You can't disrespect everybody and think everybody's just numbers or robots and everybody is programmed the same way. They're not. People have wounds and hurts and traumas and happiness and joy and richness and poverty and beaten and raped and a silver spoon in their mouth. I mean, you know, we come from all different sizes and shapes and colors and lifestyles and cultures. And so you can't expect, you know, people to you can't disrespect humanity to be that slot machine. Well, it works for one, it works for another. If we did that, then how come Jesus didn't spit in everybody's eyes and put mud in it? How come he did that to one person? How come other people, he did it different ways? One guy was lower down in the house, that were paraplegic, and Jesus says, rise and walk. I mean, why didn't you just say that to everybody else, God? Why didn't you just spit in his eyes, you know? Notice how everybody was treated with respect. I want you to hear me this for a moment. Notice how Jesus so eloquently treated every person with respect. He treated women different than men. Men different from women, and then each woman differently, and each man differently. He didn't, you know, the woman that was thrown into the street that, you know, for committing adultery, he treated her differently and never said, oh, you sorry slut. I mean, you know, pardon my language, but he didn't do that. He said, hey, any of those people, you know, almost like he drew some of the scenes, like any of you who has, you know, who's not sinned, you cast the first stone. Notice he didn't even address her. He treated her like a lady. Did he not, folks? Come on. You know, go and sin no more. That's a respectful way. He could have said, you filthy, rotten whore. You know, hey, don't do it again. No, he didn't. There's an honor and there's a respect that our Heavenly Father has for people. I love that. And yet, we're not owed that, but yet, he sees the image of himself in us. He sees that the Christ consciousness. He sees the reflection, the image. And he respects that same reflection of it he sees in himself in his own creation. That's worthiness, folks. That's powerful. And with all that being said, notice every single example. There's tons of people in the Bible that did not get their prayers, quote unquote, answered when they thought they would. Some of them probably never did. Some of them, in fact, some prophets prophesied things that didn't happen for hundreds of years later. But yeah, they could have been considered a false prophet. I mean, today, let's just face it, in 2021, if I was to prophesy, I could easily prophesy and say, oh, no, no, no. If it didn't come to pass, I could weasel my way out of it and say, Oh, no, that prophecy, it happens, it's supposed to happen in 10 years. That's it, 10 years. In other words, 10 years from now, nobody's going to remember it, right? So nobody's going to accuse me. But I don't do that, and neither should you. My point being is we've got to begin to look and respect God again and begin to say, you know what? God is not obligated to answer my, and sometimes God doesn't want to answer you right then. Maybe there's other things that God wants you to see. And when people come to me and they say, it's so important, I've got to have this answered right now. And if I don't hear God address that in a prophetic reading, I'm like, hey, you know, dude, sorry. That's not my problem. I mean, you know, that's between you and the Lord. But God sometimes will address other things that we might feel is very insignificant, but God has a protocol to everyone's life where God will look and say, I know what you need more than you think what you need, and I need to have this done first or this answer first before you're, oh my goodness, my question needs to be answered now or I'm going to just die, God. Quote unquote, question needs to be answered, right? And so let's do this today. Let's stop putting a demand upon God, okay? Let's stop saying that God has to answer our questions. Let's say that God has to address something. Let's stop saying all that stuff. Let's get back to a place where we look up in the heavens and we say, you know what, God, to you be the glory. You do what you want to do because you always have. And before I was born, you did a great job doing it, God. So you don't really don't need me, and you don't, and my life is important to you. Yes. However, my problem, my question, my daughter, my son, my issue, my job, you know what? If it's not answered, life is going to go on. You know, I mean, I think unless you're held at gunpoint and somebody says, if you don't give me this answer, I'm going to blow your brains out. You know, let's just be honest about it. And you write in for a prophetic reading. Let me tell you something. God might want to answer that question. However, he's not required to. He doesn't have to. And I wanted to sort of address to all those people like myself who've been a little spoiled rotten at times, you can't do that to God. You've got to come to a place where shallow and deep is out of the equation. The kingdom of God is not about measurements and shallow and deep. That's all natural talking that Jesus displayed and the word of God displays to us to show us that we can wrap our brain around something we can understand. Because unfortunately, we live in a world of rich, poor, you know, colors and small, and I have more money than you, and I have a bigger car than you, and my house is smaller, and I got a better job than you. How life is based in measurements, and sometimes I wish it wasn't, but it is. And the kingdom of God is not. And so when you throw up a natural reasoning of shallow versus deep to God in his kingdom, he says, my kingdom's a backwards kingdom. I'm not gonna put up with your humanness, your human mind, your limitational mind. Don't come before me with your fleshly mindset. You come before me with the kingdom of God. And when you do, we'll talk. All right. That's how we have to view God, to realize that God doesn't have to do what we tell him to do. That's the beauty about God's grace and presence is God leads us. If we want God to lead us, then trust he's going to lead you. And trust that he knows exactly what needs to come first, what needs to come second. It's the old saying, who's on first, who's on second? Well, God knows, right? And just because you don't know doesn't mean you're obligated to have your answer given at that present moment. All right. Sometimes answers can come when they need to come, when God knows they need to come. So I want to throw that in there today, because even when you deal with the law of attraction, folks, you will attract things with less anxiety. Okay. You'll attract more of the kingdom of God and good things into your life when you get out of your anxiety. When you feel as if there's always like, I've got to know an answer now. I've got to know now. I've got to know now. Do you realize the emotion behind that will always attract into your life? Like attracts like. It'll attract more anxiety. It'll attract more stress. It'll attract things that literally will be that demanding to you, because anxiety attracts anxiety and stress attracts stress. And when in demanding situations that you're putting an answer on will attract other demanding situations, folks, come on, that will require an answer as well. So folks, listen to what I'm saying. I know what I'm talking about. I've seen this happen in so many people's lives and in my own life. And I haven't said I've mastered everything, because I haven't, but I will tell you, I got a big groundwork that I've laid through all the years of my studies and all the years of my experiences, and know that a lot of it I have mastered. Not all, but a lot of it I have. And that's why God put me in the position I'm in, to help other people, to let them understand how things function and flow and how the kingdom works in our lives. So I wanted to present that today in today's podcast to just give you guys some food for thought. All right, you guys are awesome. Love every one of you. You've got a good head on your shoulders. Use the mind of Christ. Attract the things you need to attract. But don't make God your sugar daddy. He's just a little bit more important than that. All right? So I love every one of you. I truly do. And as I always say, if you don't like your day, if you don't like your life, change it. Reconstruct it by painting the visual of a beautiful masterpiece and a great Michelangelo painting of what your life should look like in your mind. Live it out, breathe it, and it shall be that unto you. God bless.
This has been the Thoughts Become Things podcast with Jeremy Lopez, helping you reach your highest creative potential that God has for you. For more episodes, products, and information on Jeremy, visit www.identitynetwork.net.